that we want to lift him up on this morning. Lift him up by teaching that Jesus the Christ hung on the old rugged cross. Died there for you and I, died for our sins. And they took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early Sunday morning, he rose with power in his hands.
Amen.
Gave the greatest commission ever given, that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Welcome to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you're indeed a very honored guest of our audience. We believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And we're trying to make heaven our home. Amen, somebody. Amen. We want to do it God's way. And we know to make heaven our home, we got to do what the Bible say do. So if you're here and you're visiting with us for the first time, and we want you to know that what you will experience is New Testament worship. Amen. Well, we sing without a choir, because everybody sings together. Well, everyone must worship for themselves. You don't see no guitars and pianos and drums and saxophones and, amen, no mechanical instruments and music.
Amen.
We make melody in our hearts to the Lord, speaking ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Yeah, you'll know we'll take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Why, yeah, we're following. We're trying to do it just like they did it in the New Testament.
Amen.
That's why we call ourselves New Testament Christians.
Yes.
Amen. We don't bring no bulls and goats. We don't live under Old Testament law.
Amen.
We're under a new law, a better promise. Amen.
Amen.
And so if you're here today and you haven't been born again of the water and of the Spirit, you need to be born again. The water is ready today. You got to be baptized for the remission of your sin to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then you can't join this congregation. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, you join a man-made organization.
Amen.
But the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Amen.
The Lord added to save people to the church.
Amen.
And they said, Brother Brooks, which church? There's so many today. Well, there's only one in the Bible, though.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only one you hear talk about over here, the Church of Christ.
Amen.
You might as well face up to it. That's all you're going to hear us talk about. Amen. Why you do that, preacher? Because that's the one in the Bible. I told you we respect the Bible.
Amen.
If the Bible told us to attend the church of your choice, we would preach a church of choice.
Amen.
But since it don't give a choice, we're going to preach one.
Amen.
I'm proud to be a member of the Church of Christ. Now, that one. I'm just glad. I'm thankful to God I know the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody. And got the book to back it up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Got the book to back it up. The Bible is right. I'm going to preach. Go to Acts chapter 2. I feel pretty good this morning, buddy. Feel like I need to preach. Isn't it right? Yeah. Somebody might be visiting. Didn't know they need to be baptized.
That's
You've been baptized. I was baptized when I was 10. Well, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Your baptism didn't put you in the right church. Well, see, there, I told you something right there. Somebody need to hear what I just said. See, there are a lot of people who think that it don't matter what church you go to. Oh, now, you need to know better than that. And you ought to know better than that. What if I say the church of Satan? You know good and well something wrong with that picture, isn't that right?
Amen.
Well, in the church, that statement just encompasses every church. Amen. Y'all might want any church to do. I wonder why people say any church to do. Like, it don't matter what the people say, what the preacher preach. As long as you go, a church is a church, a God is a God. Some of that's just foolishness to common sense people. Yeah, you're common sense people. I'm just a common sense guy. Is that good? Acts chapter 2. Y'all going to be all right this morning,
Amen.
Don't you? Acts chapter 2, we're going to be. Now, we hit our goal, Highland Heights, 600.
Man.
Wonderful thing. Is that
Amen.
Right? At 170 baptisms in September last year.
Amen.
Is that right? Ooh, that's a good thing.
Man.
That's something we ought to be excited about.
Yes.
Hey, man, that number there is blowing the minds of many people. What are you doing over there? Hot light. Preach the gospel. The gospel still works.
Man.
That's all you got to do. And the members who love the gospel, they'll bring visitors.
Man.
We've been bringing a lot of visitors. You've done a wonderful job. Y'all, let's just keep that up through the end of the year. Let's just continue to bring visitors. This is where you're going to get them baptized. Most of the baptism occurred on Sunday morning in the classes after the sermon. Don't be afraid to take your visit to the class.
Amen.
They would say, well, they don't run my visit off. If your visit is seeking the truth, truth don't run people off.
Man.
Now you just, if they leave, they wasn't seeking truth. Now, you, when the people seek truth, people don't run from truth. You can't run a person out who's seeking truth. So don't, you need to stop thinking like that. Bring your visitor to the class so I can talk to them. Sometimes just need a few more questions answered after they've heard a sermon. Some of you bring your visitor, you don't take them to the class. Well, I don't want to take them in there and get them ran off. Well, you're not going to teach them.
No.
If that was the case, you would have taught them. Something. That's the way people think. You know, something. That's why a lot of churches go to entertain and a lot of other ways to try to win people in. The gospel is what wins souls.
Man.
And we're going to teach them the gospel in there. That's right. That's right. In Acts chapter 2. Brothers, y'all need to be here this evening at 3:45. Now, worship service, we've reorganized some things. It looked good. We want to talk about what we like, what we don't like, the rules, being faithful to church, being faithful to all services. Wednesday night and Sunday night. No, you're not going to work if you're not here. Then we're going to say those things. I want the church to hear me say this. Discipline. If the leadership can't be held accountable, who can? Well, yeah, you want to serve, you got to be faithful. Well, I don't see no sin in attending evening service. That's the problem now. You're questioning what God say.
Amen.
The Bible said, forsake not the assembly. Any Amen. Man who respect the Bible, that's enough right there in itself. When we assemble, we assemble. We assemble because the leadership says we need to be here. Let's obey them to have rule over you. That ought to be enough for a God-fearing, Bible-believing person. Amen. You got to give a person 10 scriptures. Something wrong with that.
Amen.
You ought to love the Lord enough to give Sunday all day to him. This is the Lord's day. It don't belong to us. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah. You got to think about people, especially if it's a leader questioning that. There's something biblically wrong with his thinking.
Amen.
He ain't there yet.
Amen.
See, he haven't learned to love the Lord more than he do his own time.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I said it. I'm not taking it back. Well, I said that when I first got hired here, and I'm still not taking things back yet. Now, we, yeah, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, you respect. Let's go on preach, because I get them upset at me here. Go on, get them preached. It's just the way it is going to be.
Amen.
We got the support of the leadership. We're going to do things right, and we're going to do it according to the scripture. Amen. Decent and in order.
Amen.
And if we don't like some of the things we're doing in service, we're going to change it. And we got feedback from some of our members. We're listening to you, too.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
In Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts is a great book.
Amen.
You're written by Luke. Luke was a physician, a companion of Paul. Amen. He was a physician. Yeah, doctor. Dr. Luke. But you know, he never referred to himself as doctor. I wonder why some of my brothers call themselves doctors when they get to preach. You get a PhD, you want to be a doctor. We're a brother in the pulpit.
Amen.
And the pulpit was just brother. That's all, you're a brother. Isn't that right? That's it. No reverence and none of that. Just Brother Brooks. That's enough for any gospel preacher.
Amen.
Amen. A brother's enough, is that right?
Amen.
And we didn't run around here calling him Dr. Luke. And Dr. Paul and Reverend Paul. It was none of that in the Bible. No, it wasn't none of that in the Bible. So we don't want to be doing that over here. Just Brother Brooks. Is that right?
Amen.
God wrote them. God is the author of the Bible. But the book of Acts is a historical book. It's the only book that records the truth of the history of the Church of Christ. It is the Acts of the Apostles. That's what's recorded in this book. It's a history book. Has no errors. You want to know what the church looked like when Jesus came on the scene, the first century? You got to go to the book of Acts.
Man.
And you'll see what the church looked like. You don't have none of the modern day denominational church. They're not in the Bible. You might as well face up to it. You can't read them. Got to go get your encyclopedia. Go read the encyclopedia to read about a modern-day denominational church. That's why I won't ever preach one. There's only one book we can preach from to get the history of the one church. It's the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. None of the way people were saved today, no sprinkling, pouring. None of that's in this book. Nobody went to the mourner's bench to be saved in this book. 9,000 people were saved the same way in the Acts, in the according to Acts. All of them were baptized in water for the remission of their sins.
Amen.
That's what you find out how people are saved. And that's what you're going to learn when you come over here. At Highland Heights, we still baptizing for the remission of sins.
Amen.
Baptism is essential.
Amen.
It's essential to the salvation of men and women. Until the Bible change, we won't stop changing. I don't know. I know this. The Bible is not going to change.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody's going to be with us until Jesus come back. And I talked about in chapter 1 the day which he was taken up. And then we talked about how they added Matthias to the ministry of the apostles. It was 11, it was 12 originally. Judas fell by transgression, and then Matthias was added. We learned that. And now today, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Let's look at that day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost
was fully come,
they were all with one accord
in one place.
Finally, now the day of Pentecost has fully come. Now, I told you last week, there's no church. Pentecost was a day. It was never a church.
Amen.
Mark that, amen, because some would say, we are Pentecostal. Then you identified yourself as a day, not a church. Only man can mess that up. Only man can mess up calling a day a church. Come on now, we got to use some common sense. It was a day of Pentecost. Pentecost was fully come. Now, Jesus had told them in chapter 1, go wait in Jerusalem till you endowed with power, endure with power from on high. They waited in the Jerusalem till this day came. This day has now come in Acts chapter 2. What day came? Pentecost. Pentecost was a festival of the Jews celebrated on the 50th day after the 16th of Nisan, which was the second day of the Passover. Now they came together, Jewish, under Judaism, they came together to remember today, the day when Jesus, when God delivered them from Egyptian bondage.
Amen.
You and I today do not remember Passover. To remember Passover, you have to be a Jew who was in bondage. Moses was your deliverer. And when they parted the Red Sea, God opened up that Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. And they had a memorial that they kept in remembrance of that day. We have a memorial today. Our deliverer is Christ. The memorial is the Lord's Supper. We take it every first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now, none of us are Jewish. We're not under Judaism. We don't remember the Passover.
Man.
But I wonder why today's Christians who say they are Christians do not recognize in memory of the command Jesus gave, this do in remembrance of me. Some do it once a year. Some do it once a month. In the Bible, they did it on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7. So you say you visit the Church of Christ, what you going to see us do? You're going to hear us sing with no mechanical instruments of music. A cappella, everyone is singing. Everyone is worshiping. Individual. You'll see us give, take a collection. Every Sunday. You'll hear us pray a prayer every Sunday. You hear the word of God preached every Sunday. And we will commune. Take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Now, if you have not been taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, you have not kept the command given by your master. The world needs to hear this. America needs to hear this. Houston needs to hear this. It's a shame before God that men will take your money every Sunday. But they will argue as to why we should remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in taking of the blood, which is the cup and the bread, which is his body. I question that myself. Just from a general common sense standpoint. And you should too. Why the preacher will preach you? He'll take your money. But he won't let you remember your Lord. You ought to ask yourself the question. You ask yourself that question. If the disciples, get Acts 20 verse 7. If the disciples took it every Sunday. You say, well, brother, it don't say how often. Well, just look at the examples of the Bible. In Acts 20 and verse 7, the Bible says what?
Upon the first day of the week.
Day?
Of the first day of the week.
The first Sunday of the month.
First day of the week.
Last Sunday of the year.
First day of the week.
Easter only.
First day of the week.
Now he's staying with the book. What the book say?
And upon the first day of the week.
What they do?
When the disciples came together to break bread.
Now are we disciples? Yeah. Well, if the disciples in the Bible came together to break bread on the first day of the week, who told us to stop? Now go to 1 Corinthians 16. Now watch the part they don't tell you to stop.
Upon the first, now concerning the collection for the saints.
Yeah.
As I have given order to the churches of Galatia.
That is concerning collection.
Even so do ye.
This is concerning your money.
Upon the first day of the week.
On the first of the month.
Upon the first day of the week.
Once a year.
Upon the first day of the week.
Now a preacher in Houston would take your money once a month or once a year. But they'll take it every Sunday and sometime during the week. A Bible class, they got a collection plate going around. Mm-hmm. You tell me, are we saying that the value of money is higher than the value or the remembrance of the death of Christ? Common sense question. Let's go back to Acts 2. I needed to say that right about there.
Man.
Now notice what he said. Now notice what happens.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
Now go back to verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, right? Go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 24. Because we got to do a little English class this morning.
And they prayed and said,
yeah,
Thou, Lord,
now watch this,
which knowest the hearts of all men.
Stop right there, brother William. Now I got a new reader this morning. I get to pick on him a little bit. Yeah, it's all good to have our elder up here reading, doing something. Isn't that good? One time I get to pick on the elder. Yeah, just another servant. That's all he is. Just another slave like me.
Man.
Amen. Now I think he's something greater than we are. The greatest in the kingdom is a servant.
Man.
You want to be great in the kingdom? Get your towel dirty. Serve more. Amen. That's the great ones. Them the great. Neither Brother Brooks not great, bro. We great because we serve. That's what makes us great. So I'm gonna pick on him. Now look at this. In verse 1, Acts 2, it said, when the day of Pentecost fully come, day. Right?
Right.
Now we gotta find out who the day is. And verse, go back in chapter 1, verse 24, it said, and they prayed and said, Lord, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of men.
Show whether of these two thou hast chosen.
Yeah, read.
That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship.
Read on.
From which Judas by transgression fell,
okay,
that
read.
He might go to his own place.
Yeah, read.
And they gave forth their lots.
Okay, now watch the day here. They gave forth their lots.
And the lot fell upon Matthias.
Matthias.
And he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Who was he numbered with?
He was numbered with the 11 apostles.
It was 11. So 11 apostles plus one more equals how many now?
12.
So now we got 12 what?
Apostles.
So we got the apostles. Who was the day there? Now this is called an antecedent. Is that right?
That's right.
The antecedent of any pronoun. Let me get this right because I know I have some English majors in here.
That's right.
Antecedent of any pronoun is found by referring back to the nearest noun or pronoun, which is in agreement with agrees with the in number or person.
That's
is that
it.
Right?
Yes.
English
Amen.
People.
Amen.
Did I get it?
Yes.
I read that thing. Make sure I got it right. Now, let's put it in some country terms. If they said in the verse right before the day, it identified the day who they were talking about. They were talking about the day before. In the verses right before, so we can get to chapter 2, verse 1, it's talking about the same day that was in verses right before it. Who were the day?
The 12 apostles.
12 apostles. So that's called an antecedent. Now, we got to understand this because some people today will say, they're going to deal with that 120 in the upper room. And so what happened in verse number 2, see, the day of the apostles, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing.
Mighty wind.
Mighty wind. Notice this. There's a sound. You got to go there now. There's a sound from heaven as a rushing. Mighty wind. Read.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Very important point. It's 12 plus 120 in the house. in the house. So the sound filled all of the house. So everybody in the house heard the sound.
Amen.
See, now some of the Pentecostals want to say everybody in the house received the Holy Ghost. But everybody in the house heard the sound. But who received the Holy Ghost? Notice what the book say.
And there appeared unto
them. Who? The apostles. Cloven
tongues. Like as
like
a fire.
Not a fire, but like as a fire.
And it sat upon each of them.
It sat upon each of them. The apostles, each of them. What fell upon each of them? Not the sound. The sound filled the house. But what fell upon each of them, being the 12, were cloven or separation, separate tongues, disbursement on each 12 were tongues. So tongues fell upon each of the 12.
Amen.
Sound filled the house.
Amen.
But tongues went to the 12. Cloven. Separate tongues. Now, it wasn't a fire, but it was like as a
fire.
A fire. Now, these men, would receive the power to speak in tongues, which is a language. And these tongues, which they would have to speak hundreds of tongues. Remember, they had a commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In 28, Matthew 28, go teach all nations. So they had to preach. 12 men had to preach in all nationalities.
Amen.
And they had to have the power to do it. I'm going to talk about these tongues, because this is where we need to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, that we need to know this lesson.
Amen.
I'm not going to rush it either. You know, I'm going to preach all this sermon. You don't like it, take it up with the elders. I just miss me. They were all filled with. What were they filled with, Brother Byron? See, my reader done got off track.
The Holy Ghost.
He listened
and
to
they
the
were
sermon.
All filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Now, what's going to give them the ability to speak in different languages they were filled with?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy
Ghost.
Who was?
The
apostles. Remember in Acts chapter 1, he told them to go to Jerusalem, and they were being endowed for power from on high. No, in verse 5, and John truly
baptized
with water,
but
you
shall
be
baptized
with
the Holy Ghost.
There's their baptism right there. See, they were all filled. They were covered up. The whole room was covered, and all of them was covered up and baptized with the Holy Spirit. The apostles had the power now from the high, on high. Now the Spirit would give them utterance. John 16:13 said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall guide you into all truth. Now, whatever the apostles utter will be based on what the Spirit tells them
Amen.
To utter. So the utterance that comes from the apostles' mouth will be that what the Spirit says, which is
Amen.
All true. Now what they spoke is now wrote in what we call New Testament.
Amen.
So what they spoke is all truth. What gave them utterance was the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized because Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem till you get the power to do what I want you to do.
Man.
This is good preaching.
Man.
The apostles now are going to receive. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, that's why I don't like Paul, because Paul was a male chauvinist. He didn't like women preachers. Now, wait a minute now. Your problem is not with Paul. Your problem is with the Holy Spirit.
Man.
Yeah. See, the Bible is one. Get 1 Timothy 2. See, some of these women preachers going to be listening to me in this CD. They'll get some of it. They'll get this. They need to understand. They need to go home and be a wife and a mother, but not a preacher.
Man.
No, they don't. You need to go home and be a mama. Yeah, be a mama. That's what God made you. See, her brothers can't be a mama, can we, brothers?
Man.
And some of them got some sugar in their tank. They want to call themselves wives and mothers, but you can't. That brother, he can't be a wife. He can't be a mother, can he, brother? I don't want to be a wife. I like kind of being a man, don't you?
Man.
There's something wrong with a brother want to be a woman.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I said, well, don't pick on the homosexual. Well, homosexual, it's no different than any other sin. You can't be homosexual and go to heaven. And everybody already know you can't have no baby. So why are you faking? I mean, you know it's faking. I mean, you have to work too hard at it. Child, girl. You know, brother. A man got to work hard to be a woman, don't he, brother? Look funny, too. Looks funny. And you may be an artist and you got some tendencies going that way. You need to repent of that, you know, really do. Women trying to look like men. Let me tell you something. We need you as a mother, not as a man. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I just have a desire for another woman. You can repent of that. A lot of people had a desire to drink and do a whole lot of things, but they quit. You don't, come on, just because you got a desire don't mean you got to keep doing it. I was getting on women preachers, wasn't I?
Man.
But here's the thing about it. You know, you got to talk about these kind of things. You kind of just slip it in there every chance you get. You don't never know who's sitting on the pew. We don't want you to think that we look down on you because of that, but you're going to have to repent. You can't get to heaven like that. Now, I know that some of the churches want you to change that way. See, women's are, or you saying women are inferior to men. Let me tell you something about that. Man, there's not a woman inferior to man, but we sure got a different role. Yeah. No, don't play around with that thing. You know, mamas are high ranking. Amen. In my life. Is that right? Wives are high ranking, that brother.
Amen.
Amen. My daughter's a high rank, but she's not a man. Amen. Yeah, see, I always tell y'all that if the thief comes to the house, I'm not going to send my little girl, go get him, honey. You know what a real man do? It's to put the family back and get them protected. He go up there and check on what's breaking into the house. Pretty weak-kneed man to send his wife to the door.
Man.
I don't know why we want to put him in the pulpit. This boy's not even strong enough. Oh. I'm in love with you, let's tell you. Lord, help me, Jesus. Seemed like if Jesus ever wanted a woman preacher, right here is a good time when the 12 apostles stood up. One of them ought to have been men. Yeah. You know who was there? Mary, his mother would have been a good choice, I think.
That's right.
That's just right. The Bible says, somebody said, if you got a problem with women preaching, I don't like Paul. Paul wasn't a problem.
Man.
But the book saying, 1 Timothy 2:12, what did it say?
I suffer
not a woman to teach, and you serve for what?
Authority over the man.
Who? Over man. Read.
But to be in silence.
Read and being what?
Silence.
Being what?
Silence.
Be quiet. I'm going to be preaching. Being silent. Read.
For Adam was first formed.
Here's why I go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam was first formed.
Then Eve.
Then Eve. Read.
And Adam was not deceived.
Adam was not deceived.
But the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 34. Somebody says, women, you ought to feel good about being a woman. Amen.
Let the women. Keep silence in the church.
Keep silent.
In the churches.
Somebody, that Paul, that's the Holy Spirit giving him utterance. That's back over to Acts 2 now. See, apostle had to utter these things, guided by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says read the next verse there.
Let the woman keep silence in the churches.
No, he said keep silence in the church. Read.
For it is not permitted.
It is not permitted. Who didn't give permission? Was it Paul? The Holy Spirit said, you don't have my permission. Now, let me drop this. Some of you sisters who are speaking up too much when leadership talking, you need to be quiet. Sometimes you got to close your mouth. Yeah, you want to stay in your place. Stay in your place. God put us in leadership, not you. You got some issues, take it to your husband at home. And if you don't have a husband, you come to us. Your leadership. One-on-one. Some sisters want to act like they can run things from the pew. You don't run nothing from the pew. Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. This is a touchy subject right now. We don't want to make the sisters mad. You don't make a sister mad who loves the Bible and the Word of God. They
Man.
Understand and respect God. Give him reverence.
Man.
The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. So who we give utterance to? The apostles. When did he give it to them? On the day of Pentecost. What did they receive? Holy Ghost. When did they receive it? On the day of Pentecost. Where were they at?
In
the room. Who was in there? The apostles.
Apostle.
What filled the room? The saints.
Serves.
What did apostles get filled with? The Holy
Ghost.
Contrary to what is taught in Pentecostalism, no one is baptized with the Holy Ghost today. Somebody asked, what about the laying on hands? I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to illustrate that. But today, if you want to be saved, you must be baptized in water.
Man.
For the remission of your sin, Acts 2 and the verses number 38. In verse 5, he says, dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men
out of every nation under heaven.
Read on.
Now when this was noised abroad.
When what was noised abroad?
When this was noised abroad.
What just happened? The multitude came together.
And were confounded.
And they were confounded.
Because that every man
heard
them speak.
Him who?
Speak in his own language.
Is the damned?
The apostles.
The apostles. They heard them speak in their own
language.
Language. That's what it was. Tongues is a language. Notice this. This event, when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, gets attention. What gets their attention? They were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Confounded. They're amazed or bewildered.
Man.
What is amazing to them is they can hear these men who are Galileans speaking their native language.
Man.
Listen to the next few verses, verse 7 through 11.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another,
read.
Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?
Yeah, now that's like if somebody walking down, are these Americans? Yeah, we're all Americans. We speak what?
English.
Y'all got that part, don't you? So they walk in and say, aren't all these Americans? Yes. Read.
And how? Here we every man in our own tongue,
but yet
wherein we were born.
But you have a Chinese, a Japanese, and an African, Arabians all walk in the door and say, all these are Americans. But we hear Japanese. Now we got a miracle going on. Yeah. Trying to make it where you can get it. Y'all got that? All of us are what? Americans. We speak. Someone from China walks in. I'm preaching in English. He hear me in Chinese. That's tongue speaking.
Man.
And how we hear them, every man our own tongue, wherein we were?
Born.
And who was there?
Parthians and Medes and Ammonites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and in Asia and Pergamum and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, and we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
And this is a true tongue speaking here. Wasua Dakole, come here. And where are you from, friend?
Nigeria.
Let's get this mic for our interview you. Hello? Will you give us your name, please?
Wasiwa Dekunle.
And where are you from?
Lagos, Nigeria.
What nation is that?
Africa.
Do you speak another tongue?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to say something in tongue. Let's see. Well, don't tell them what it is. Let's see if we can make this happen, okay?
Oba dada lolorun. Oba dada lolorun.
Now, if he's the preacher, how many of y'all know what to do? Okay, now wait. Now watch this now. I don't know what you said. I hope it was okay. Now let's check. Now say that again.
Oh, by Dada Lolorun.
Abla Shabra Kasha Pacha. That's jabbering, gibberish, jargon.
Yes.
What I just gave. What America and the world calls tongue is jabbering, gibberish, jargon that makes no sense. But if a native African was in the audience, is there one in here? Nigerian? Yeah, whatever he is. You one of them? Now tell us what you said in English.
God is good.
Now let me see in my language. God is good. Now I'm asking Americans and who speak English, how many of you understood him? How many of you understood me?
Amen.
That was his native language, wherein he was born.
Amen.
Now if we had the power the apostles had, I would speak in English and he would hear me. And what'd you say again?
Nigerian.
Yeah, how you say that?
Oba dada lolorun.
He would hear me say Abba da 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 da.
That's right.
Thank you.
Man.
So what the world wants us to believe is this foolishness.
Man.
That's what it is, foolishness.
Man.
It's caused a lot of people to be lost because here's the problem is you are looking for something rather than reading for something.
Man.
Yeah, that's a good illustration right there. That's just as plain as I can make tongue speaking. That's an unknown tongue to you.
That's right.
It's an unknown tongue to me, but it's a known tongue to that nation.
Man.
So they had to speak in unknown tongues. Oh, this is a good sermon.
Man.
In verse 12, it says,
and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?
What means what? What is the meaning of all of us hearing this? These guys, Galileans, talk, all these Americans speaking the same language we speak. That's amazing. That would be amazing to walk in and see that. Read.
Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine.
They're not. Yeah, think they drunk.
But
now
Peter,
some folk today probably are drunk.
Man.
But Peter standing up with the what?
The 11.
Lifted up his what?
Voice and said it to them.
Peter stood up with who?
The 11.
So who was doing the speaking? The 120 or the 11? See, the Pentecostal wants you to believe that all the 120 was doing this. This was the 12 apostles.
Man.
And that's why they'll get up and fake that thing, man. That tongue speaking is the only miracle you can fake. That's fake. Peter stand up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea.
And all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my word.
What?
For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day.
Read on.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams.
Now, what he tells them here is that, listen, what this is what Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2. He prophesied, I think verse 28, that something's going to happen in the last day. Now, when you look at the beginning of time up to about 33 A.D., which was when Jesus died, AD. 33 A.D. is about the time when Jesus died. And when Jesus died, this was the beginning of the last days. You and I are now living in the last days, and the last day will be judgment. And so what had happened at Jesus' death on the cross, the things Joel and 50 days later, which we now know as Pentecost, what had happened in this span of time, he's saying this is what Joel told you all was going to happen. When did it happen? From the day of crucifixion, which I'll show you later, up to Pentecost, some things happened that amazed Jerusalem.
Man.
We are still living in the last day.
Man.
And Paul told Timothy, Spirit, speaking expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devil.
Speaking lies and hypocrisy.
Having
their conscience seared with a hot iron.
With a hot iron.
Forbidden to marry. And commanding to
abstain. That's what's going on now. That the priest can't marry. Nuns can't marry. And he said in the last days, perilous times will come. Last days will be over when Jesus come back.
Man.
We're all living in the last days right now. The prophecy that Joel talked about indicated that all of us will be blessed, and truly we're all blessed from the apostles receiving this power. Here's where the confusion come in. I'm going to slow it down. The confusion come where false doctrine is brought in by those who are teaching that we all had to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But in order to do that, you got to also be able to perform miracles and prove that you got the same baptism as the apostles.
Man.
So then they start faking tongue speaking as one of the experiences or one of the indicators that I got the same power that they had. So I got to have something to prove what I'm saying.
Man.
The apostles get Acts 8. Let me illustrate. The apostles, who got the Holy Spirit baptism?
The apostles.
Apostle. 18. Now, Renaldo, can I use you this time? Yeah. This is Renaldo, a good friend of mine. I beat him in golf quite often, but he's a good friend. Read Acts 8:18.
And when Simon.
Yeah, when Simon.
Saw. That threw land on of the apostle hand.
Oh, now I'm Peter. I was there that day. I got the power. He don't have it. But I have the power of transfer. So I can give him what I got. So when Simon saw at the laying on at the
apostles' hands,
yeah,
the Holy Ghost was given.
Now, see, he got the same form. Who gave it to him? Who gave it to him? Who was he?
Apostle.
Who? Where did he get it? What day?
Pentecost.
Where was he at?
In the room.
Who had it? The apostles. Say it with me. Who had it?
The apostles.
Apostles. Who could transfer?
The apostles.
Is he apostle?
No.
Now he can't transfer his to him. Now watch this. When I die, he got it. He can't give it to him. So when he die, it's over. So the old people who got it and were able to prophesy, dream dreams, see visions, was able to perform miracles, got it when the apostle laid hands on them. They had power to heal. But he had no power to give him the power. So, that's good. So, from AD 33 to about AD 96 was about the period of time that we saw miracles. And so when the apostles died, and the disciples that the apostles gave it to died, miracles stopped.
Amen.
Because they had no transfer power. The Amen. Intent of giving the Holy Spirit to the apostles was to give them time to write the New Testament.
Amen.
But somebody say, well, what are you saying? Nobody speaking tongues today? You heard me. Get 1 Corinthians 13:8. People, you heard what I said. They're not speaking in tongues. They're not raising no dead people. They're not drinking no poison. They're not getting bitten by no snakes. You got the book, verse in 1 Corinthians 13:8.
Charity never faileth.
Charity, love never fail.
But whether there be prophecy,
whether there be prophecy,
they shall fall.
Or they'll fail. Read.
Whether there be tongues,
tongues,
they shall cease.
They will.
Cease.
Tongues will.
Cease.
Tongues will.
Cease.
Tongues will.
Cease.
Cease means stop. So the question become, when? When will they stop, Byron?
For we know in part.
Paul is the apostle talking. We now know in part. So and Paul couldn't speak until the Holy Spirit told him what to say. He knew in part.
Amen.
Read.
And we prophesy in part.
Prophesy only what God tells us to prophesy in part. Read.
But when that?
When?
That?
He.
That?
He.
That?
He.
That?
They said it's Christ.
That?
They said it was Christ.
That?
They said it was Christ.
That?
Christ is not a that. So when that?
Which is perfect.
When that? When will it stop? When will tongues speak and stop?
When that. Which is perfect.
Which is perfect come.
Is come.
So they say it's not going to stop until Jesus come back. That's right. Well, Jesus is a dad. That's right. But if it was talking about Jesus, it would say when he, who is perfect come. Then that which is in part shall be what? Done away. It's going to be done away with.
When I was a child.
When I was a child, I spake as a child.
I understood as a child. I thought as a child.
Yeah.
But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Let me give you just a basic answer to this one. In the church was in an infancy stage from the time Jesus stopped, from the time Jesus died, shed his blood, purchased the church, until the apostle was writing the New Testament. It was in the early stage. It was an infancy stage. They didn't know no better. They didn't have no New Testament like you and I had. And it was still in infancy. So he spake as a child. But now, you put away. Child. When the maturity of the New Testament was completed, childish things went away like what you had to see to believe. Now faith coming by
hearing.
Hearing by the
word of God.
So what was perfect? James 1:25.
But whosoever looking into the perfect law of liberty.
There. See, that's the that. The New Testament, the Bible is perfect. Psalms 19:7. That's the one I want. The law of the Lord. That's it.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
What's perfect?
The law of the Lord is perfect.
So
converting the soul.
So when that which is perfect came, then tongues would stop. So what we have today is known as the New Testament is perfect. This is complete. So the miracle, the tongue speaking and other things would go on until the New Testament, which is the perfect law of liberty, which is the Bible. So when that which is perfect shall come, it came. How many years did it take? They're about 40. For him to write the New Testament. Who wrote it?
Apostle.
Who wrote it? The 12.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but it had to be the apostles. What did they write? What did they write?
New Testament.
So what's perfect?
The Bible.
The Bible. Do we have the Bible?
Man.
Is it complete?
Yes.
Well, we don't need tongues no more. Why? Because tongues will call a sign. Now, if I don't have the New Testament for you today, get Matthew chapter 16, start at verse 14. Now watch this. Now, let me give you this. Can I give y'all this? Oh, some good preaching right here. Y'all, we call this the what?
Bible.
The B-I-B-L-E. Right. And the Bible said in Revelation 22:18, if any man add unto the words of prophecy of this book, God should add unto him plagues that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of prophecy of this book, God take his part out. It's complete. So you can't add to it and you can't take from it, right? In Matthew chapter 16, Mark 16, 14, what do you say?
Mark.
What did I say, Matthew? All you church cry folk know better than that. Come on, go over there and.
After he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat.
By the way, do me a favor and wait till I hear all these pages quit flipping, because I think they need to be here on this one. What is it I got in my hand?
Bible.
Look at the book. They flipping there. We there, Byron. Come on.
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11.
Who he go to?
The 11.
Read.
As they sat at meat. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart.
Yeah.
Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Okay, we know.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Who he tell to do this?
The apostles.
Who is he talking to?
The apostles.
So what did he tell them to do? Go into all the world and do what?
Preach the gospel.
To who?
Every creature.
He that what?
Believeth and is baptized.
Shall be?
Saved.
Read.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
So if he don't believe, don't baptize him. But if she or he believe, baptize him. There you go. Read.
And these signs shall follow them
right
that
there.
Believe.
Now here's some signs that they're going to have to follow them that believe. Who the signs going to follow? Read.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
Now, notice this. The apostle had the ability to pass it on. But this discussion with the apostles and them that believe. Now, is he a believer? I'm an apostle. But we both what?
Believe.
So the sign's going to follow us. Them that?
Believe.
All right, got it? All right, read.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
Now, I should be able to cast out devils, but if I give him the power, he should be able to do it. Well, we both believers.
Right.
But who gave him that power?
The apostle.
Who gave it to me?
The Holy
Where
Spirit.
Where was I at?
Jerusalem.
What room?
Upper room.
It didn't say what room I was in.
No. It was in the house.
It was in the house. See there, y'all Bible students?
Yeah. In the house.
But you got it? Who got the power? Apostles. I can give to him. We both believers. So some signs. Come back up here with me, Ronald. You look good today, too. That pink and woo-wee. Pink and black. Dude, clean, boy. But me and him got power. We both believers. We don't have a New Testament. That's not wrote yet. So So we don't have no Bible now. It making sense?
Man.
Now we got to teach him. But we don't have a what? We don't have what part of the Bible? We don't have the New Testament. So, but we believe in who? Jesus. But we got to preach what? The gospel to him. Read. These signs shall follow them that believe. What are we going to be able to do?
You shall cast out devils.
Now, if he got a devil in him, one of us can get him out. Read.
They shall speak with new tongues.
We're going to be able to speak in English. If he's African, we'll speak a language that he can understand. One of us. Read.
Thou shalt take up serpents.
We can take up a snake. Who can take up a snake? Either one of us. And
if they drink any deadly thing,
we drink poison,
it shall not hurt them.
Because we believers. Read.
They shall lay hands on the sick.
We're going to lay hands on the sick.
And they shall recover.
We can go to the hospital and we don't get over and say, in the name of you, right now, Jesus, we praying right now. Come, right. We ain't got to beg him to come if we got the power. I always wonder about that. I just stand outside and listen to people pray right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you right now to heal them. And right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of And you leave the hospital room, they still sick. What was all that about? And then what amazed me, they said, right now, Lord, like they telling him to do it.
Man.
What did it say?
So then after the Lord had spoken unto them,
read.
He was received up into heaven.
Yeah.
And sat on the right hand of God.
And watch what he going to do.
And they went forth, preached everywhere.
Who went forth?
The apostles.
And preached what?
Everywhere.
Everywhere doing what?
The Lord working with them.
Do what?
Confirming the word with signs.
Whatever they said, he will confirm to him. Whatever we say, we will confirm to him who is not a believer. We will confirm the words we say
with signs.
With a sign. Right. So, if he didn't believe and it was another sick person by him, I could heal the sick person by him as a sign. What I'm saying to you is coming from God, and the way you believe is the sign that you see.
Right. Man.
Not the sign that's wrote, because it's not. The word wasn't wrote. So the only way I could prove to him that I was from God is that I could commit, I could do a miracle. Thank you. That's as easy as it can get right there.
Man.
I'm getting ready to stop. I'm trying to educate some folk today.
Man.
Yeah. Now he confirmed the word with what?
Sign.
Sign. So here's a sign. When you don't have this, you got to have something to prove what you're saying is right. But today, you don't need no sign from me. But you still got a sign. John 20, 30, 31. And the book says there. In John 20, 30, 31.
And many other signs.
And many other signs.
Truly.
Truly.
Did Jesus in the presence of his disciples.
That are not.
Which are not written in this book.
Some signs Jesus did are not written in this book. But
these are written. That ye might believe.
So do I have a sign today?
Yes.
Yeah, I can read that when Moses led them up to the Red Sea, he told them to stand still. See the salvation of the Lord.
Man.
I know when Jesus went to Lazarus' grave, I can read the sign that he went to the grave, and they said, he's been in the grave 4 days and he stink now. But when I read that he told him, he said, Lazarus,
come forth.
Take them grave clothes, loose him. Come on out of the grave. And he stood in the middle of a whole bunch of dead folk. And he said, he could have called him by name. He had to call Lazarus by name.
Man.
The reason he had to call Lazarus by name, because if he just said, everybody get up, dead get up, all the dead folk would have got out of the grave. He had the power to do it.
Man.
But he didn't want everybody up. He wanted to confirm that he was God. And so he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yes, sir.
And I read that sign, I believe it.
Amen.
So now faith coming by hearing, hearing by
the word of God.
We walk by
faith
and not by
sight.
2 Corinthians 5:7. The faith is the something thing hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're listening for miracles, if you're looking for tongues, if you're looking for them to raise the dead, that's not faith anymore.
Man.
Faith comes by hearing.
Man.
Boy, that's good preaching, right?
Man.
That's good stuff. I got to stop. It's all happened in the first century. Not happening today. And let's close now. In verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above.
And signs in the earth beneath.
In the earth beneath, blood
and fire, vapor of smoke.
Of smoke.
The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, and before the great and noble day of the Lord come.
Read, before judgment.
And it shall come to pass.
Shall come to pass.
That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
This happened on the day of judgment. I mean, this happened at the beginning of the last days. All this happened at the crucifixion. Let's go over there as we close. Let's close in Matthew chapter 27. Let's watch this all come to be. In Matthew 27:45. Now I'm from the sixth hour. There was darkness
all over the land until the ninth hour.
Now he said that sun was not going to shine. So darkness all over the land. See, and so the first 3 hours, Jesus had, it was 6 hours. The first 3 hours, they seen what was going on. But the last 3 hours was dark. Then God said, you can see the first 3 hours. But the whole land, when he was on the cross, amen. So here's a miracle right there. What Job prophesied, that there will be darkness all over the land. The moon is not shining. The sun is not shining. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried
with,
a loud voice.
Eli, Eli,
lama sabachthani.
That is to say,
my God,
why hast thou forsaken me?
Why have you forsaken me? Read.
Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah.
For light. Read.
And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar.
Filled it with vinegar.
Put it on a reed
and gave it
him to drink.
Let him drink. Read.
The rest said, let it be.
Let it be.
Let us see whether Elias will come to save
Elijah
him.
Elijah will get him off that cross. Read.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
He yielded up the ghost. Watch what happens now. Here comes Job's prophecy getting ready to happen. What happened?
And behold, the veil of the temple.
That veil of the temple
was written in twain.
The Jewish priest was in the temple that day. But that old covenant, old testament, is getting ready to stop. Jesus is nailing that old law to the cross. That veil of the temple
was
where
written.
The priest went in, the Holy of Holies was rent by God. It was on that day on the cross. That veil was rent.
In twain,
in half,
from the top to bottom.
The Old Testament is no longer any good and getting ready to start the New Testament.
Yes,
blotting out the handwriting of ordinance. He's taking away that old law. He nailed it! He nailed that old law to the cross!
Man.
He nailed it to the cross right here! He nailed that old law to the cross. And he was on that cross that day. The veil of the temple was rent
in twain from top to bottom.
It is no longer shining on the middle of the day. High noon, it's dark all over the land. Am I right about
Man.
It? Something powerful is going
yes,
on.
Sir.
God is in control. God is doing what Joel said he was going to do. What else did he do?
And the earth didn't quake.
See, there's come another miracle. That earthquake came. Then the Bible says,
and the rocks was rent.
Rocks were split in two. Who doing this? God. Because the Son of God is on the cross. Joel's prophecy is coming. To be that rock was split in half. Earthquake came, darkness all over the land. Read.
And the graves were open.
Graves were open.
And many bodies of the saints.
And only God chose who he wanted to get up.
Man.
On that day, saints got up.
Man.
Read.
Which slept arose.
Yeah.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection.
See, when did they go?
And went to the city.
You know, it 3 days, they didn't show up to 3 days later. But he got them up that day at 12 noon. Between the 3 hours of darkness, earthquake, when the earthquake shaking, there's smoke going up all around this. Now the moon, the sun is all darkened. Have you ever seen the sun darken? It'll turn reddish as blood. That's Joel's prophecy. God is doing something, man, because the Son of God is on the cross. Then he says, "Why?"
And now, when the centurion, they were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done.
See, they see the signs. They saw the earthquake and they saw the things that were done. The Bible says now
they feared greatly.
They feared greatly,
saying, "Truly,
truly,
this was the Son of God."
How did they know? The sign. What were the signs? The moon. Look, the sun and moon look like blood. It's dark in the middle of the day. People in the graveyard getting up. Earth is shaking. Whole lot of shaking going on. Whole lot of shaking going on. Rocks are shaking. Earth is shaking. Whole lot of shaking. So it got some folk attention. You better believe it did. It got some folk attention. And then that centurion, he knew, man, something's going on that man cannot do. Man can't make an earthquake come. Man can't split rock. Man can't make it dark in the middle of the day. And so he said, on that man on that cross, truly, me and few, truly, truly he was. Truly he was. If I be lifted up, I'll draw me in.
Man.
That's a good lesson.
Man.
I'm going to lift him up this morning as a wonderful Savior. And you're here today, you say, Brother Brooks, man, I need him in my life. I need him. Y'all would say to you, we all need him. Amen. We need him in our life, don't. Yeah, and here's how you get him. You got the truth today. You found the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. And you need Jesus in your life. What you have to do is hear that he died for you. That's the gospel. He died for your sins, according to the scripture. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, according to that scripture. He got up early Sunday morning with power to save all men. Am I right about it? He got up with power and told his apostles, go teach them what I did. Tell them I died and was buried and rose again. If he believed that, he said, baptize them. Why are you going to baptize them, Jesus? Because they got to be buried with me by baptism. They got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said, if he believe it, baptize them for the remission of their sins. And except he be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Never write about it. You hear that gospel and you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sin, been drinking and cussing and smoking and chasing women and doing all those things you're going to do. You got some point in your life, you got to see Jesus on that cross dying for your sins. You got to believe that he was truly the Son of God. Then you have to say, I can't do it no more. I'm going to repent and go another direction in life. Then you must walk down here and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then upon making that confession, we have to baptize you. Why do we have to baptize you? For the remission of your sins. Because you are separated from God. Sin separates the man from God. But the cross, that death, that burial, and that resurrection washes away the separation. And you can say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what baptism does, for the remission of your sins. And the scripture said, calling on the name of the Lord. When can I call on the name of the Lord? When my sins are washed away. Acts 22:16 said, Paul was down praying the sinner's prayer. And Ananias told him, he said, arise. Why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling. So if you're here today and you haven't washed away your sins, you can't call on the Lord, and you ought to do that this evening, this morning. We want you to do that this morning. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. In closing, I went to a funeral yesterday. I really want our young people to hear this. 16-year-old honor student, a straight-A student, all kind of honor awards, doing good this 1 week. On a Wednesday, I think one day in the week, he just started having pains. And turned out he had staph infection. Went all through his whole body. In a matter of days, he was dead. But we buried that young man yesterday. But one thing about him is that he had heard this story. He believed it with all of his heart. He had repented of his sins. He had confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. And he had been baptized for the remission of his sins. And the only thing I can say to that parent is that something happened to my child. I want to know that they did what God told them to do. But sometimes the children won't do it because the dad and mama won't do it. But this father and mother, they were faithful members of the church. And sure, it was a loss to them to lose their 16-year-old. But the comfort came in knowing he did what God said do. And you know, I had one of the other youth walk up to me and said, Brother Brooks, he really did live like it. I knew him personally. See? I said, that's good to know. He said, yeah, he really did do right. It makes you wonder why God would take him. But the Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. But I would ask a mama today, if it's your child, are you ready? Or daddy, are you ready? A grandfather, grandmother, what about you? What are your children looking at? What kind of life is it? Are you living? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? If not, why? It could be your 16-year-old next week. And maybe simply because mama never obeyed. They never had an example. Daddy never obeyed. The child didn't have an example. But this young man had an example. His mom and daddy were obedient to the Lord. And some of you unfaithful members of the church, don't come back to evening and things. Your children are not going to be evening service worshipers either. Because they didn't have no example. Amen. Amen. They don't come to Bible class. You're not the example. So what are you saying, Brother Brooke? I'm saying today if you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to be saved. You ought to be baptized. The water is ready, clothes are ready. We're praying that you come. And the Lord wash away your sins and add you to the body of Christ, Church of Christ. Who should come? Those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Those who are a member of a modern-day denominational church, but you were baptized in that under that teaching, you must be baptized again according to truth. Amen. To be a true worshiper, you must obey truth. So you have to be baptized again. So yes, you must be baptized again. Who else should come? Members of the Church of Christ who need to go closer to the Lord. You come in repentance and confession. That's who should come. And we're getting to say, because why should you come? What a wonderful man he was. The Bible said, greater love had no man than this. He will lay down his life. Haven't Jesus done enough for you? Haven't Jesus done enough? He laid down his life for you, his friend. And then you receive him by saying, you know what? I'm coming to Jesus this morning. What a wonderful Savior. I'm coming to him. And right now we're getting ready to extend the invitation. When I say stand up, that means you're able to come at that point. This is your invitation. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. When you stand up, walk. Don't wait, because the devil don't want you to move. And members of the church, you don't need to be moving unless you come to the front either. Amen. This is for the visitors. This is the invitation of God. Visitors, we want you to come. Be saved. The water's ready. Clothes ready. Don't worry about none of your hair and all that stuff. We got something for all of that. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Y'all ready to do it? Amen. All right, here's what we want to do. We want you to respond as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement right now.
I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me.
Come on to the front.
He's a
come on to the Lord. Don't wait.
Savior.
Come on to him.
Drew me.
Amen. Come on.
I was
God bless you.
By fear,
come on to him. Don't wait.
Jesus
come on. God bless you as you come. Come on to the Lord. Jesus is calling. He's a wonderful Savior to you.
To me.
Come on to God this morning. Let him
God
in your life.
Is a wonder,
he's a wonderful Savior,
to me.
To me.
Oh, he's a wonderful Savior. To me. When
you were lost in sin.
In sin.
Jesus took me in.
Jesus took me in.
He's a wonderful
Savior.
Come on to the Lord.